Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I have some good news for you. We want to, anytime you get in the scriptures, you find lots of good news, don't you? I want to think about a thought this morning. In 1 John, the first chapter, that starts in the fourth verse, and the Lord has given us a little of himself, hasn't he? And it says here, "And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." I'm really glad to know that the Lord has that in mind for us, that he wants our joy to be full. And he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You know, this morning, John said here, "We declare this message unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." I just want us to think a little bit this morning about this, and I would that God would somehow bring it alive to our hearts. You know, light is such a precious thing. It's such a valuable thing. Darkness is so different than light. It's so, darkness has fear lots of times for people. Darkness has the unknown. Darkness, you can't really see what's going on. There's a lot of things that goes on in the night, and the scriptures tell us those things. But do you know that we're of the day? And he says here that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, I just want us to think a little about the Lord this morning. That what this is doing is trying to bring an analogy to us that we can get a hold of, that God is light. What does he mean by that? Is God a light beam? What is God? He's trying to tell us, as we know light, that's the way God is. Everything on the earth that has its living existence would never survive without light for a length of time. Only for a short time without light. But light brings life. Light brings all the things that we have. All the good things of life are made possible by light. If it wasn't for light, we wouldn't have anything. We wouldn't even be able to see our way around. Nor would we have anything growing to feed the animals that we eat, as well as the things that grow. You know, this morning, light is tremendous. Light brings security. We heard in Wednesday night prayer meeting a while back, somebody turned the lights out and they spoke about light, and they talked about us being a light and all of that to those around us. But folks, I want to tell you something this morning. God is light. And there is no darkness in him. And when we need help, folks, it's in the Lord, isn't it? God has light. He has all those blessings to our soul that we find light is to our natural body. And so this morning, I just want to start with that and think about another place where John wrote in John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, and verse 3, it says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." You know, this morning, I want us to think a little bit about the life of God. Folks, this is good news for us. This is really good news for us. Because how often it is that we're out of hope, and have no hope. We have no strength on our own. And yet the scriptures tell us that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you know this morning that what we need in our hearts is a good fullness of the life of the Lord Jesus in our life? And when we find that, it will be to us light. It will be to us strength and security. It will be to us all that light is to the natural man and more. And so this morning, Jesus said another place, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you know this morning there's a lot of darkness going on? And when you read the scriptures, you recognize that the darkness the scriptures talk about is spiritual darkness. It's darkness in the soul. It's evil deeds. It's evil things in people's lives. And this morning, I just want to think about that. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If we're going to have lives full of light, we're going to have to be full of Jesus, aren't we? We're going to have to let him have our life this morning. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So this morning, I just want to build on this thought of life and of light in the Lord. It comes from the Lord. The scripture we read says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I don't believe there's any darkness in him. There isn't any. None. God is light. And we'll read some scriptures later on to talk about his city. It's full of light. It's full of God. It's full of himself. And folks, when we don't see light, when we only see darkness, it's not in the Lord. Those things are not in the Lord. Even when we feel like we lose hope, do you know that's not light? That there isn't any warmth and strength in that. That's when we are slipping back to looking at the darkness and letting the darkness have its way. I want us to think about this morning that the Lord is light, and everywhere that God is, that's who he is. And that's what he does. He just fills. He fills every place he fills with light. And so when we need light, when we need strength, when we need hope, what we really need to do is just get our eyes off of everything else and run to the Lord. That's where it is. That's who he is. That's what he wants to do. God is love, the scripture says. We know that hatred is darkness, isn't it? The scriptures tell us that if we hate another, we walk in darkness. We lie. There isn't any way for those things to coexist in the same place. God is light. He wants our lives to be full of light. He wants our lives to be full of the love of God. He wants our lives to be full of the grace of God, full of the strength of God, because that's what God is. And he wants to be in our lives this morning. Matthew 5 and 14 to 16, it says, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, here Jesus turns it, and he says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." All this morning, I just want to challenge us today to let our light shine. The reason light is there is because there's darkness. We should not feel like the Lord needs to take us out of the darkness. We should feel like he needs to fill us with the light that we might illuminate the darkness. All around us is going to be darkness. That's why we're lights today. And he says, "You're the light of the world." He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I just can't think of anything better than light. I love light. I don't like dark rooms. I don't like dark paint. I don't like anything dark. I like light. I like things to be alive. I like them to feel alive this morning. Romans 13 and 12. We would like the Lord to help us that this can be something we can feed from this morning. 13 and 12 of Romans to 14. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Folks, we have to cast off the works of darkness. The things that fill the world, that make it what it is in an evil way, that make it what it is when it comes to its needs. We're to cast those works of darkness off. And it says, I love the way this says this, and put on the armor of light. Do you know the armor of light? There isn't anything that can pierce that. That's who God is. Put God on. Put Him into our life. And I believe what we will see is those things cannot pierce our soul. But that's not where it stops. They not only cannot pierce our soul, but we give out light all the meantime because God is there. And I believe that's what the Lord is looking for us to do. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us walk honestly, verse 13, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That's what's in the world all around us, isn't it? People get killed every day over those things. And the Lord said, I want you to be a light in that dark place. He didn't tell us, I'm going to take you out of that place. I'm going to actually put you there so you can show people what it's supposed to be like this morning. And so He says here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Run from the flesh. The flesh is what is used by the enemy. It's what darkness is able to work through. And He says, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on His clothing. You cloak yourself with Him. And you're going to be in the midst of rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness and strife and envying. And all the things that go on. And we're going to be in the midst of that. The Lord told His disciples when He sent them out, He said, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. And He told them to be as harmless as a dove, but to be as cunning as a serpent. You know, this morning, the Lord is looking to shine His light through our lives. Not take us out of the darkness. He's not looking to do that. That day will come when we go on to see the Lord. One scripture in Ecclesiastes 2, it says, it speaks of light excelling darkness. I believe that this morning. It's light excels darkness. Psalms 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Do you know this morning the entrance of the words of the Lord? When they become alive in our life, they give light, don't they? When we pant after them and we hunger and we thirst after those things, I want to tell you, the Lord will fill our lives with that thing that the Lord was. He'll fill our lives with the grace and the goodness of God. And that's what we need this morning. Yes, we feel the temptations of the flesh, but the Lord's called us to a higher calling. And we're told to cast off the works of darkness. And we're told that the entrance of His words, let His words fill our life. Let the things He tells us fill our lives, and let them make us into a real candle for the Lord in a dark place. That's what God wants to do this morning. We kick at that, don't we? We don't like that. I don't either. We don't like that this morning. We kick at it. But I want to tell you something. God wants us to open our arms and pant after the commandments of the Lord fulfilled in our lives. Lord, make me a lighthouse to those around me. In 1 John 2 and 8, I just want to thank the Lord this morning that my back's not hurting me real bad. When I was taking prayer requests, I could hardly stand there. And the Lord has really blessed me to be able to not have pain hardly at all. And I thank God this morning. In 1 John 2 and 8, it says again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Do you know when we accept the words of the Lord and we let him live? We read that his life was our light. His life, the live life of the Lord in our heart. More than just picking up commandments, more than just picking up things, but the Lord Himself, a real relationship with Him, panting after His ways, His thoughts, His grace. It says here, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Do you know this morning, if we allow the darkness around us to seep into our life, it blinds our eyes. We're not even able to see who we are. Have you seen that before? We're not even able to see because darkness. When we allow darkness into our soul, we find that it blinds our eyes, doesn't it? I want to read a few other places this morning and talk a little bit about the city of God also. In Revelations 21 and 23, we read a little bit about the city of God. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I want us to just think a little bit about the beauty that we have here, folks, as the city of God, the church of God, the New Jerusalem. I know that this is speaking chiefly about the judgment and what happens after that. But we find that these things that it speaks of, there's a measure of it here on earth also. Wherever God is, you find a measure of what He has here. And when we get there, it's going to be in its fullness. And so when we see the church of God, it's a visible thing. Yes, it's made up of individuals. But do you know when we come together as the true church of God, and God is living in our souls, His Spirit is living in our life, and we've given ourselves to Him, and we're walking in the light. You know, there is light in there. It says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And if you look on up to verse 10 and 11, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Do you know this morning there's different analogies, there's different descriptions of God's church and of His people. But here it speaks of that great city. It says, He carried me away, John did, in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, and descending out of heaven from God. I believe there's some of that here this morning too. And I believe the Lord wants us to revel in those good things that He's given us. The Scriptures tell us that Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I believe Abraham had some spiritual vision. He was one that had faith in God. He's one that trusted God, that went wherever God told him to go. And he had a vision of that. And the Scriptures, that's Hebrews 11 and 10, tells us that he looked for a city. Folks, the Lord has a city today. In Hebrews 11 and 13... to 16, it tells us these all died in faith, speaking about Sarah and Abraham and different ones, Noah, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I hope we can just let our minds take in a little bit this morning. That city that the Lord has prepared and that place that He has given to us. I believe the Lord wants us to see it as what it is, a beautiful situation, something God has prepared. The world all around us lives in sin, we know. And all around us we see the works of darkness on every hand. Spiritual circles, secular, carnal, every kind of thing we see. But I want to tell you something this morning. God has prepared a city, and part of it is here. And so when we see what Abraham, I want to look. It says here, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. And it says, for He hath prepared for them a city. And in Psalms 46... and 4 and 5, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. You know, this morning, there's a river that makes glad the city of God. I believe the Lord wants us to get our eyes sometimes up off of our trials, off of our troubles. And He wants us to look on the city. He wants us to look on the light. He wants us to look on the streams that make glad the city of God. He wants us to go round about Zion and look at her palaces and her pillars and her strong places and the beauties of it. Sometimes it's easy for us to pick on things and to lower our vision. But I believe the Lord wants us to look. We heard a message couple of weeks ago that spoke of the city of God. That was really a blessing. And I just think about the blessing the Lord wants to give us. In Revelations 22 and 1 to 5 is another scripture. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. Now see, we heard back there in Psalms 46 a little vision of that river. And then the Lord took John up in the Spirit and he showed him some of these things, didn't he? Now he's using natural language, but it's spiritual things that's going on. And he said, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. They're not going to need any artificial light to prop them up, because the sun is going to be there. He says, they'll need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto them, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so this morning, I just want us to think a little bit more here about Mount Zion, about the city of God. And our minds can go and study ourselves on this thing in a deeper way. But in Hebrews 12 and 22, it talks about, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now he's telling us here, the writer is telling us here that we are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This morning, I believe if we can just get our eyes a little bit up on these things and recognize God is in the midst of her, folks. Go round about her. Look at the things God has. Look at the promises He has made. Look at the walls. We heard about that a week or two ago. The walls of salvation. Do you know that those things don't protect everybody, but they're around this city? The walls of salvation protect us, don't they? Those things that we have that are a blessing. We have a song that says, walk about Zion. And there's a psalm that talks about that too. The Lord said one place to the children of Israel, this Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Do you know this morning the Lord's not looking to see if we filled every seat in here? We would like that, but that's not what he's looking for. But he's looking for a people. And he himself wants to be the light of it. His spirit, his laws, his ways. And he wants our lives to be able to shine in the midst of where we're at, his glory this morning. In Psalms 48 and 12, David got a hold of this. And he says, walk about Zion. We've been kind of quoting that. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Folks, this is not... We don't believe in just another religion, do we? We believe in God himself inhabiting this place. We believe in God himself inhabiting our souls and our lives. We believe in taking the whole Word of God, all of it, and living that way this morning. And so the psalmist got a hold of this here. And in the first verse he says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. And so it goes on. For this God is our God, verse 14, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. So I just wanted to bring you those few little thoughts this morning. The Lord help us that we recognize the city of light. It's up in heaven, folks, but it's here too. And I believe the Lord wants us to enlarge our vision and open our view. The Lord teach us. The Lord lead us. The Lord draw us close to Himself. The Lord keep us from darkness and fill us with light. That's His people this morning. And I believe it's something attractive to others. The light emanates out from the city. It shines in brilliance. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Maybe another scripture or two. John 10 and 10 says here, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Folks, we have life and we have light because the Lord loved us. He gave his life for the sheep. We have something awesome this morning. I believe that. We need to get our eyes up. Are we a light in a dark place? That's good. That's right where God wants us to be. He wants us to be a light in a dark place. I was thinking the other day about the story Sister Nelda told, and I may not have this perfect, but I think most of it is right. And Sister Davenport out in California. You know, the Lord wants the light to be here in such a way that He can lead people here. Sister Davenport, as I remember it, as a young girl, she was going from church to church, if I remember right, looking, surely somewhere is a people that really serves the Lord. And you know, the Lord gave her a song, and it kept going over and over in her mind. And somebody invited her to one of the saints' services. And when she walked in, they were singing the song, 114, In the Light of God. She said that was the song that God had given her. That so blessed me. And I remember another person. I hate to say the name, but I think it was Sister Imogene Taylor, I believe, told me this. One of the saints here. And how that they were very sick and in the hospital. And they prayed as a young girl and prayed to God, "Lord, if you'll heal me, I'll serve you." And the Spirit of the Lord drew near to them and healed them. And she felt the Spirit of the Lord come near and heal her. Now I want to tell you something. That's a magnificent thing, isn't it? And she was invited to one of the saints' services. And when she walked in the door, right over here on the west side at that chapel, and she said she recognized that same Spirit. She had been going from church to church trying to find that Spirit that had healed her. You know, this morning, it's not everywhere, folks. I know that there is people in many places that serve the Lord. I believe still there are people here and there. But you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants there to be something a little different here. I think He wants our congregation as a whole to be in that place where the Spirit of the Lord is moving and working and in our lives, in our hearts, in our singing. And I appreciate what He does. But I just want to encourage us this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is life. It's liberty. It's love. It's righteousness. And so we don't get stuck just on things that we do. But we want the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in our midst. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we will let Him live in our life in that way, I believe that the Lord will will come down and be in our midst like that. God, would you deal with us and would you dwell with us in that way? Doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to endure some things. But folks, the light of God is what the world needs today. One more scripture in Revelations 3 and 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I believe we have a lot to look forward to today. And the Lord help us to just enlarge our vision, enlarge our love for the Lord, give ourselves to him. Recognize, yes, he's a God of holiness. Yes, he requires things. Yes, there are a lot of ifs in the Bible. It's not all just the love of God. If we allow it, he can work in our lives. And he wants to do that. And if we'll allow him, he'll shine brightly in our midst. Do you pray for me?